It is AFQ, shit. Neil Atkinson with Amelia Bonner, with Beth Lindsay, with Rob Gutman, and with Phil Blundell. I just thought that conversation would have been absolutely fine if we'd recorded it. Their microphone's there, by the way. Let's sort that out. I should have done that bit before. That's my fault.
Quite important, Neil.
You know, it's my fault.
The conversation that you wanted to record wouldn't have actually been on the
by
anyone.
Yeah, at some point.
Rob got me to book him a curry house for Saturday and pay a £10 deposit and then forgot that he'd got me to ring them off his phone and make the booking in his name while paying for it with Steve's card, and then booked another curry house at the same time and had absolutely no memory of any of this interaction.
These things may all be true.
When
we watched the game back.
I did cancel the second book. It's the same place.
Okay, it's the same place. Yeah. You booked the same place twice.
Yeah, they had two bookings in
at
my
no
room.
Point, but they like two Rob Gutmans in one.
Well, when I phoned them back, they went, "Oh yes, that had occurred to us that you had booked a table of two.
Take two lots of £10?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, well, they certainly took the details. Whether that
did they bring you two curries? Like if you ordered like a
haven't been yet.
Let's say you ordered. Oh right, okay. Fucking hell,
this is exciting.
I thought you made it sound like you had been.
Yeah.
And that what actually happened?
Oh
that
no! He just Steve told him the next day. It was like we did this last night.
Yeah,
because I think he was worried about your memory because it was like quite a lengthy conversation in which we made comparisons between some of us had. Between you being Alan and me being Lynn and doing your bidding.
I remember
all
of
this. And the fact that we made the booking in your name, not Steve's, because you're a real man who wouldn't say another man's name upon entering a curry house. All of these things.
Did I say that? I do remember the whole thing now.
Yeah.
So it's not like
Technicolor.
It's not like that happened to somebody else. I do remember it. But anything the next day after drinking, I don't remember much of it. Until someone goes, do you remember when you said this? Mm. Oh, shit.
Mm. So that's...
Beth, you too.
Yeah, Beth. I like the idea of you can't say another man's name upon entering a curry house.
I don't. What the fuck did you say? What do you mean by that?
So it was that.
It sounds like something from like Fight Club, doesn't
it? I don't understand what you're saying.
But this is why I couldn't believe that you couldn't remember it, and then just booked the curry house again. Like,
I can't say another man's name. What, like some sort of macho thing?
We talked about this for like 30 minutes, and then there was like a follow-on conversation around like things that are like signalers of masculinity or otherwise, because. We booked it and paid for it using Steve's card.
Yes.
And gave them his details and his name. But when they asked for the name on the booking, I said, Rob Gutman. And Steve was like, what the fuck? Why is it not in my name? It's my card. And I was like, because Rob isn't going to want to walk in. And when they say, who's the booking in the name of? You go, Steve Graves. And you were like, I'd never do that.
That was making jokes.
Imagine not wanting to be Steve Graves. I want to be Steve Graves.
There's a lot going on, Beth.
I feel like I'm having an episode.
She's been on the washing machine.
Yeah.
You are basically Larry David at this point, aren't you?
Give it
the
truth.
All right.
Yeah. Mm. The fact that no one laughed is telling that. The fact that two people that know you very well didn't laugh is depressing for you, Rob.
It's one of the things getting old is diva-like behaviour is becoming worse and worse and worse, but also being out of body enough to go, I know, don't act like it's just, I know it's not a shock
series seven, I think this one,
but it's in that Larry David way, but also being detached enough to go, you're saying these words, Rob, and you're saying them credibly, and you really think that's a reasonable way to behave. It's like I walk into a restaurant and where
the table. What story?
Have you got a version of Mocha Joe?
It's like, yeah.
What story is the idea that it's getting worse?
Well, the quintessential one is if I walk into any kind of restaurant or cafe, they go, yeah, just a table there for you. The minute they offer me something, I'm like, I don't think so. Mm-hmm. I've immediately think to myself, why are they offering me that? There's got to be a better option. I've done it about 5 times in the last week. And then I find the table. And then I get to the table and I go, that was in no way better, the table I picked, than the one they picked out for me. You fucking idiot. Right? So I'm having this out-of-body conversation with myself. I know.
I mean, at least you're self-aware.
Oh, too much.
Nah, you say that, but
it doesn't change it.
But it is self-aware.
But you keep doing it.
I can't help that.
My Way or the Highway is the Rob Gutman story, I'd say.
And Larry David as well, coincidentally.
Honestly.
It's obsessive compulsive behaviour. You can be aware of it whilst knowing you're a dickhead whilst doing it.
Honestly, the idea that the diva behaviour is going to deepen is somewhat terrifying. I, by the way, sat there and listened to you speak before for 11 minutes and didn't interrupt you once.
Where?
Where we just did that thing on Friday night.
When we talk, what are you talking about now?
When you talk about the season, fucking miracle, I think.
I sat there and listened to you speak non-stop for 11 minutes.
Was it 11 minutes? Or
I don't know how long it was.
I'm just 11 long?
Minutes. No, I'm just saying. I did not interrupt you once. I think it's the longest I've ever heard you speak without interrupting you. Afterwards, I was trying to assess.
Was it hard?
Oh, fuck it. Yeah. There was a point around 7 minutes where I thought, I might just have to walk.
Yeah, I had a point. I had a point on 45 seconds.
I just thought, yeah.
Whoa, like I was.
No. You were not the most verbose. You weren't even the most verbose. It was just more remarking on the fact that
you normally can't restrain yourself.
I normally, my first reaction when I see you is to bicker.
Yeah.
And I managed 11
like
minutes.
Sisters,
yeah, I did wonder what was going on. Because normally I keep going, because normally you do eyes and you have all kinds of facial expressions when I'm going on in a show, like, can't show you do this in audio, but believe me, Neil is a rain. I don't think it's just me you do
the,
it.
He does the oil like point at the next.
But he's
person.
Not even doing that. His hands are visibly trembling and whatever. It's very clear with you when your guest has said enough.
When
Very
you finished
clear.
Talking, did he say rock solid?
I was too busy dealing with the black spots before my eyes. I was cleaning the blood out from my earlobes at that sort of point. Managed it all the way through. How are you feeling at the end of the season, Beth? Now that let me phrase this this way: you don't have to go and watch Liverpool professionally on Saturday or Sunday.
Knackered is how I am feeling.
You're going to do a press conference tomorrow?
I haven't. It's tremendous. I mean, I've never wanted a season to be over as much as I've wanted this season to be over. And I think,
when did you want it to be over?
Oh.
Was it before or after Christmas?
Before.
There, thank you.
Like, I remember at Brentford... waiting for, which was October, I think.
Yeah. That was my day as well. I was finished.
Me, Paul Gorse, and Ian Doyle were staying in a hotel because it was, I think, was it a Saturday?
8 o'clock Saturday.
Our hotel bar had closed.
Do you know our bus wouldn't start that night?
I mean, it was just a fitting.
Wouldn't start.
Sums everything up.
The bar had closed,
yeah. Which is like, you know, in this job, the one thing that you want when you get back, you can get back to a hotel at 2 a.m, that's fine. But if the bar's not open, it's a really depressing place to be.
Yeah.
And I remember Gorsy saying to me, this season's going to be a slog, you know. bear in mind, like, the week before, me and Gorsy had tried to get the train back from Chelsea on the Saturday, because that was Saturday 5:30, and there was, like, one train we could make. And we, like, legged it across the whole of London, having done the exact same thing at Crystal Palace, like, the week earlier than that. So we were just knackered.
I found that period really hard, where we basically had...
six away games and
we
seven.
Were in London,
we had six away
like,
games and seven. We played... we had three London aways in four league games. And Galatasaray away and Frankfurt away in the same spell.
Did you go to all of them?
And I went to all of them. And... fucking hell, that was about as hard as it got.
Yeah.
Because I don't think we won any of them. I think we lost all those games.
No, we won at Frankfurt.
We won at Frankfurt.
5-1. Up the Reds.
Great, well done. That's right. It was fun, wasn't it? But yeah, the others were... It was a hard... That was the point where I was like, what am I doing?
Yeah. And to be fair, I think everybody connected to the football club felt exactly the same, including the players, which isn't ideal. But, you know, I think that's probably been the sentiment for most of the season.
But now you're going to go to the United States for the World Cup.
I was going to say, fucking the rest for the wicked, isn't it?
Where are you actually going?
So, to be fair, I've got quite lucky.
Yeah.
I go to Seattle.
Oh, nice.
Cool.
Vancouver from there as well.
Vancouver.
Yeah. Seattle Reds and Vancouver Reds are pretty cool.
Yeah. Then to LA.
Oh, three.
And then back to Vancouver. So I've got quite lucky. But if you're flying, I don't like flying.
Yeah. I don't like flying.
Which is not ideal in my job.
Also, it's a bad thing in America as well, because you basically have no choice everywhere, because they don't know what trains are.
Yeah. I'm actually a lot better than I used to be, but
do you drink on a plane?
No.
That's how I deal with it, heavily.
I just, like, you know what the big thing is? I don't like flying on my own, which, again, I sort of have to do sometimes for work.
Yeah.
And it's not so bad if you do, like, a Liverpool, like a Champions League trip, because you tend to fly with people that you know. Mm. But, like, the flight to Seattle, I'll be up doing by myself, and, like, this is going to sound, like, so pathetic, I won't have anyone's hand to hold.
Aww,
it's like, I have to hold someone's hand during takeoff.
Someone will hold your hand.
Sleeping pills. My wife tries to hold my hand when I'm nervous on a plane. I go, get off me. Honestly, yeah. Because it just, I can't, I have to concentrate.
You want to go down alone.
I know I'm on my own on a plane when it's going wrong. I don't care about anybody here, kids, whatever. I'm the one who's suffering.
Yeah.
Don't try and interfere with my pain.
Do you know what games you go into, or?
Yeah, I mean, they're not thrillers. I can't be honest.
All got to be done. This is like when I told someone who had to do throw-ins at 2 o'clock in the morning for Ivory Coast Japan once. Wow. So.
Yeah, I've got a couple of Canada games in Canada, which will be, like, nice. That's good. Cool. I've got Belgium, Egypt, which will be good for, like, the salad, De Bruyne angle.
Yeah.
But I've also got, like, New Zealand, Belgium. Mm. And,
yeah, I know. You've got Chris, the big man, Chris Wood. Get to watch Chris Wood in the flesh.
But you know what? I shouldn't moan, because I'm incredibly lucky to do this to Joff.
You always do the qualifier, which I think is very professional of you, but you are allowed to be tired.
But yes, I.
How much are you going to enjoy July?
Well, so basically now, so I was meant to be going out for sort of indefinitely. I always knew I wasn't staying out till the final, but I didn't have, like, an end date for coming home. But now I think I'm doing part of Liverpool's tour as well. So I'm just doing the group stages, so, which in a way is good. So I'm there for 2 weeks for the World Cup, and then I come home for, like, maybe 3 weeks, and then I go back to America for, like, another 10 days, which requires an extra 2 long haul flights, which I'm not looking forward to.
I don't mind long haul flights.
I'll come back. I'm going to find out where our flights are and see if we can find one. See if we can sort that out for the Liverpool tour. How's the new job going?
I don't want to talk about it.
Behave yourself. Don't say it's the best job we've ever had or something like that. You said that to me once.
I say that to them all.
Job pussy.
It's going really well. It's like talking about your new fella in front of an ex. It's not okay. it's been many, many jobs since I told Steve that he was the best boss I've ever had. So it feels like each time I say it, it diminishes in its power.
Good. These are things I'm hugely in favour of.
You
have
the ultimate valediction of you marrying him as well to prove how good a boss he was.
You're so good at it,
I will actually marry you.
But you're enjoying it?
Yeah, going really well. Enjoying the teaching and that.
Good. How's the Dovey going?
Real good. I was just saying to Phil, it's gone above expectations. And I don't just say those things because some of them don't go above expectations. But this one, above expectations. So it's really good. South Liverpool has been responsive in a good way. So great. Sorry for me.
I'm very pleased. No, I'm pleased. I always like it when it goes well. I may never see it.
It's not your neck of the woods, is it?
If I basically miss the first 2 months, I think there's a fighting chance I'm never going.
Never going to see it.
No.
When was the last time you went in the Dovey?
It might be on the way back from one of the games in 23-24 when we got beat by Man United.
I remember you did a
post-match there.
Pink from there.
Was that the last time you went to South Liverpool?
No, I've definitely been. I've been Elaine.
So I almost think it. I think Lart Lane is cheating if you live in North Liverpool.
Yeah,
you used to be so close to the station.
Less so now because the train
is the Orbs game.
You've got to change.
Still don't like it though.
But well,
it's cheating. It's cheating. You're not getting into the purity of South Liverpool.
I watched a pre-season friendly in the lane earlier this season, and look how badly wrong all that went. I'm not saying these two things are linked, but these two things might be linked. It's worth bearing it in mind. I think that might be the last time I've genuinely gone south
of the equator.
I've just got no real need for the south.
Doesn't that make you feel loved, eh?
I've just got no real sort of, you know, there's no.
Listen, we've got new things. We've got all sorts going on.
I'm sure.
Are you due to be moving at some point?
No.
Are you staying north?
Yeah.
I thought you were talking about moving city centre. No.
Not now.
Okay, we'll discuss it another day.
I didn't know if you meant like not now, like not here, or as in like not right now, but maybe in the future.
Not was now,
that like a, not now, Rob.
yeah. I think everything. Yes to all. So I'm working round to you, Philip, on this in terms of checking in with everyone, because the first question very much does pertain to you. It's Brian Murphy. That's his Twitter handle. And he just asks, how much does it cost to attend every single Liverpool game in a league season?
Great.
I'm not Steve Armstrong and I have not checked. And I also think there's a massive grey area between what you consider the spending. Like
bevies.
But does that count? I don't think it does.
No, I don't think it does.
Because if you think about it, Rob, if you go to the match on a Sunday and have a drink, but it means that you don't go out on the Saturday.
Mm.
And if you hadn't gone to the match on the Sunday, you'd spend the money on the Saturday.
That's fair.
You're just spending the money. I think you can only really do it on
the things
tickets,
that Steve added into the building.
Tickets, trains, buses, and transport. Flights. I think it's only transport and tickets, really, to be honest. I think it's the only. Because ultimately you need to eat.
And also, if you didn't go, you'd probably watch it somewhere and you'd have a pint.
Exactly. Yeah. I wouldn't be. I mean, ironically, the three games I haven't been to this season, I did actually just watch at home. So,
yeah.
I mean, all three while I was working. So the actual spend of the games that I didn't attend was quite literally zero.
Yeah.
Which is sort of counterintuitive to that point.
But at the same time,
I've watched plenty of games in the pub before, mm-hmm. and I still spend 30, 40 quid.
So it's 1930s not, for
it's
the
1930s plus the season ticket is that probably makes about 1500, are we saying 1600, something like that.
You save away when you go to Anfield.
Yeah, that's it. Well, then again, there's Ubers, there's whatever. Sometimes the Uber also comes into your round.
Yeah, well, that's
so
complicated.
Like it was the other day. My round was the Uber to the ground for six people.
Yeah.
Because it was about 25 quid, so it's one of them.
You could get someone to tot it up over.
Like, I could, but I don't want to know, Amelia.
But it'd be fun on a spreadsheet at the end.
I don't think there's much fun. Steve Armstrong did this.
I don't think it would be fun on a spreadsheet.
But Steve Armstrong did it in the year that Manchester United, after they'd won the European Cup and got to the European Cup final and got to the League Cup final, they got to the FA Cup semi final, I think. So the only game that Manchester United didn't play in of everything was the FA Cup final. And it included him going to Japan for 3 days. So he went. Do you know the story? He went to the World Club Championship final in Japan. I think he basically was in Japan for 8 hours or something like that. and he basically went to a wedding the next day. If it was on a Tuesday, he went to a wedding in the Lake District on the Thursday. I think.
That's mental.
Yeah,
it was. But he worked out how much everything cost, and it was a sum of money that I think it's probably fair to say I couldn't afford.
So what he said to me was he did the spreadsheet with his wife, added it up, and they all agreed it was a lot of money and that they could have built an extension.
Yes.
And he said she didn't know about all the extra extraneous spends implied by being away from home.
Yeah.
So there you go.
But yeah, I think if you add the tickets and the travel up, I think... I got hacks as well, in fairness. Like, I got the... Someone managed to send me the Champions League fixtures before they were announced, which saved me hundreds of pounds.
Yes, we don't say. Yeah,
it's not insider trading or something.
It's
not someone you'll know. It's not someone anyone here will know. But he was basically, this is really, really funny. He was writing the PDF for UEFA to send to the clubs, which is it's the single greatest hack I've ever had in my life of anything.
Clubs plus Phil.
Yeah. You might want to look at these, and I was like, I don't know if this is right, because I hadn't spoken to him about seven. I looked at the last message you sent; it was 7 years ago.
I was like,
okay. So we had everything ready to go, and then they announced it, and we were like, bang, go, and it was done straight away. But it was still a bit like, I don't know about this, and I don't want to spend probably 500-600 quid on guessing. But I think you're looking at a few grand, aren't you? I think. Depending on how you count it, you're anywhere between 4,000 and 8,000, I would say.
Okay.
But the second 4,000 is money you would probably just spend on other things anyway.
All right. Matt Fitzpatrick, Beth, asked, what's the worst storm?
Golfer?
It could be. I didn't know that was a golfer's name.
What? He's never had a cup to you.
All right, Phil.
As in, like, he's won a major. He's big time.
I don't know about the golf. I'm not a big Ryder Cup head. Matt Fitzpatrick says, what's the worst storm weather you've been caught up in?
Topical.
Yeah.
Is it? Why?
Because there was a big storm last night. You're not aware of
Rob was unconscious.
To be fair.
Yeah, you'll be asleep.
To be fair, it didn't.
It woke us up.
It didn't wake me up. I was
like, all of a sudden.
I was awake when it started because the rain about 12:30 was like, it was biblical rain at 12:30.
Good, that storm. The lightning woke me up. I sleep with a sleeping mask on. Sorry.
I'm trying to think. I actually don't know if I've got any good storm stories.
I have.
Ever been really hot?
I don't think I've ever been anywhere like really tropical. To be fair, like outside of Europe and North America. So no, okay. I'll defer to Amelia for this one because I don't have any good stories.
So when it was in my first storm, it's always clear waters with Steve Graves. My first summer in uni, went to stay with a girl I'd met in halls who lived in Geneva, and they all went to this festival outside of Geneva, and we turned up with like what you'd take to UK festivals, like wellies and like anoraks and whatever else. And people laughed and were like, "Oh, you expecting rain?" Because Geneva's really sunny. Didn't realize that. And on the second night, there was this like insane electrical storm that meant that all of the music stopped at like 6. Parts of the stages blew away. Like there were like big pieces of equipment just like flying across the thing. We ran back to where our tents would have been. The whole campsite was just gone. Like it had pulled up all the tents.
I was about to say how smug you were, but I'm going to guess not very.
All our stuff was gone. Like the tents had blown away with all our stuff in it.
Wow.
And like all of the trains were off, there were no trams, like every sort kind of like shelter that you could have found had been blown away, like marquees were all gone. So we just like sat in the mud and the rain for about 12 hours until the sun came up, and then rang her dad to be like, please, can you come and get us? And at one point I convinced myself that I was going to get hypothermia. So stood next to like a hot dog oven by a catering van that they just opened the door of for a while so that I could
warm my hands. At least that didn't blow away.
Didn't blow away. Yeah. Did not blow away. It was crazy. Genuinely, like when people say biblical, I've never seen anything like it. Like entire structures just blowing past you.
Yeah.
Mad.
Yeah, I mean, I'm surprised they weren't fatalities.
Yeah.
The way you've described it.
Switzerland, isn't it? They're on it.
Yeah. Do you remember me and you flew back from Cork, I think, after a gig? And that was a storm because it was like 80 kilometre an hour winds or something.
Yeah.
I was in a different part of the plane, so I'm on my ticket. You know, talked about being on your own on a plane. It was me and a Senegalese fella. He didn't speak English. I've managed to work out he spoke French, and my limited French, we actually managed to pray together, I think. Something like that. Well, he did. He started praying, and I thought, that's nice. I think I can join him with this. The plane was being buffeted. Fortunately, it was like a 40-minute flight, which was good, but boy, was it being buffeted. It was quite good, though, in as much as I'd anticipated that this was fear of flying plus storm equals the worst hour of my life. But it was nice, and we bonded. My French got better under duress, I found out. What my life depended on understanding his prayer. Anyway, that was
worst storm or any weather.
Storm wise, it's just the general. If you've ever been in Southeast Asia when it genuinely rains, like, and there's a proper storm, they don't necessarily last particularly long. But I mean, I once left in sort of, I went to Manila in rainy season. And I left the hotel without an umbrella, and I got about 20 minutes away, and things changed. And I basically sat inside the place for about half an hour without moving because there was literally nothing that you would want to make you go outside. It was that, like, the when the rain bounces.
Oh, I love a bit of that.
But you couldn't really see it bouncing because there was that much rain. Mm. The rain was bouncing in the bouncing rain. So it didn't really look like, it just sort of looked like a flood immediately. It was really weird, but it was probably that, I would say. And there's a lot of that. I think if you just generally go to Southeast Asia, you do get a lot of that. You get it in Florida as well.
Yeah, similarly. I've been in a hurricane in Florida. I do like a proper storm. Threatens me in any way, but last night was great.
But a hurricane doesn't.
No, you know.
Hurricanes are dangerous, really. I don't know if you've heard.
We got dominoes during the last hurricane that I experienced. Still available.
Dominoes in a hurricane.
Storms.
I was in what is still now. You can look up Boston cold weather 2016, and I was in Boston. Like it comes up with answers on on Wikipedia. Life-threatening cold.
Well, it says when it here. Was...
How cold?
Minus. So it got minus 21 points. It dropped to 21.7
Celsius.
Minus 21.7 Celsius.
Celsius.
But felt as cold as minus 34.4 with the wind chill. Ooh.
To be fair,
I was outside in it.
Yeah, but do you remember it got down to minus 20 here in 2010, winter of 2010. Like it was, it was insane. How I don't know if anyone remembers this. It feels like I remember it vividly, and then I bring it up, and people are like, "No, don't be ridiculous. It was never that cold." And I'm like, "No, it quite literally was that cold." There was a period. It was about a week before Christmas, 2010.
Yep.
We had a game against Fulham postponed.
Yep.
It was sort of what the Ashes were on.
Because it was too cold.
It was, honestly, if you basically think about, you couldn't go over, like, imagine the, as an example, think of the, on Penny Lane, the railway bridge.
Yeah.
A car couldn't have got over that. They couldn't have got on, they couldn't have gritted it. Like, it was impossible to grit. Like, that's how cold it was that a van couldn't have driven up to the bridge to then get up it and grit it because it was that ridiculous.
I don't remember.
It was honestly, it was unbelievable. It was like genuinely.
It was hibernated.
It was minus 20 in Liverpool. It's the coldest I think it's ever been and the coldest I reckon it will ever be.
I went to Boston for a film festival for the screening of our film. And basically from day two, I think we were there for 5 days, from day two until day five, every day I wore all my clothes. So everything I bought, wore five scarves.
And you do layer up, don't you?
I wore everything I had. And I stupidly tried to walk home four blocks during this. And genuinely, someone put me in a car.
Really?
Car pulled over when you've got to get in this car, where are you going? I was like, it's just there, but I could barely move. And then I had to do the proper hit off. I got back into the hotel and they said, right, you've got to do two baths.
Stop.
You've got to do a bath in cold water, give that half an hour, sit in that, and then do a bath in warm water.
What?
Because I was that cold. It was that, like, dangerous.
Four blocks?
Yeah.
That's crazy.
Honestly, it was like...
When you went and said something, I thought you were going to say two baths.
Yeah. That's my dream.
Yeah, yeah. It was
two baths, Atkinson.
It was genuinely terrifying. There was a point I basically realised. So this walk, I realised quite early on. This is because I was just going from a bar post we screened the film, and there was everyone in there, and I just thought, oh, I won't get a cab here. It's just around the corner. And I'm basically 25% of the way there. And I thought, oh, fuck, I'm in real trouble here.
Yeah.
I'm in real trouble. And I had a real think about should I go back, but I've come this far, so I may as well just go to see it through. And
like,
as I say, a car literally pulled over and went, get in. Just went, get in.
Wow.
And I went, yep.
Were you the only person? Five scarves on and gone, he's not from you.
Yeah. You're the only person on the street?
Yeah.
Like in the zombie apocalypse in the snow?
Yeah.
Wow.
The rookie.
Yeah, the rookie. So, and
Isn't that weather mad?
That was the most extreme weather I've ever been caught in.
Hottest you've ever been?
Hottest you've ever been, Neil.
I was in Cyprus when it was the other side of 40 degrees.
Fuck that.
In 20... it might be around the same time, about 2016. Me and Sam went.
Yeah.
And I remember us like feeling like we were the problem. Like, why can't we just handle this?
Yeah.
We're fucked. We're in a real bad way. And then we talked to the locals... and they were like, this is killing us.
Okay.
So no wonder it's killing you.
I was in Manhattan, was it last June? It was 42. Yeah. It was the hottest they'd ever had
in
June.
That city,
it was insane. So you just seek out any bit of shade against a building just to make it not feel like 42. Well, obviously in the sun, it felt a lot hotter than 42.
And I remember we had to cross 48, Rob.
48?
I've had 48 before, yeah.
Fucking hell, Phil.
Perth.
Is that possible?
Well, it was. It was fucking possible.
My mum was in
Egypt last week and had 50.
Jesus Christ.
It was a heat wave. A heat wave in Egypt. Sounds
quite hot.
So the funniest thing about the 48 in Perth, I was at the cricket. It was when England played Australia in 13-14. Went to the Perth test. And because Australia is Australia and very rules-based, they are, like, to the point where it's... If you haven't been to Australia, you will not understand how rules-based Australia is in terms of how... Oh, mate, it's fucking
really?
Mental.
Yeah. I thought they were quite a sunshine people.
So they're basically... in their position is, if you can't stand there, you can't stand there. If you can't do this, you can't do this. So there were people basically standing up against things because they were in the shade and they're like, you can't stand there, you're not allowed. And you're like,
it's 48 degrees, mate. Can I just stand in this shape bit? And he goes, no, 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 you're not allowed there. It's against the rules that you're not allowed to stand there. It's against, like, the safety certificate, and we have to adhere to the safety certificate that you can't stand there. And people are like, it is the only bit of shade in this whole cricket ground. Let me stand there. And some officious steward's like, you can't do it, mate. Sorry. Fucking it. And it was, but we were sat just in front of it. We'd abandoned it early on, and then every sort of 10 minutes, the same thing is happening with somebody else.
Someone else having a turn.
And about an hour in, I'm like, surely, like, the 15th person might think that you aren't the first person to have done this. But it was fucking absurd how they were like, no, you can't stand there, mate. You've got to go and stand in that. Just go and sit on that thing that's in no shade whatsoever whilst it's 48 degrees.
I think the baby would be really good at a job like that. He's very officious. But I try and imagine a future for him, like a job that involves going, can't do that, don't do that, don't. I just think he'd love that. That's a bit of him. I don't know what that is.
Get into Australia and tell him to be a steward.
Oh, no, he's not allowed.
All right. Next one that we'll do is Alex Williams, who just asks, Rob, curry sauce over fish or in a pot on its own? So I think you think when you got the fish and chips,
you get the
fish and the chips. What are you doing with the curry sauce? Are you just whacking it on, or are you out to one side?
Well, you mean they pre-put it on for you?
Well, what would you like? Would you like them to pre-put it on, or do you want it on the side, the curry sauce?
As a deeply controlling person, I obviously want to control myself how much curry sauce is going on and when. Yeah, absolutely not.
I went to you first, Rob, knowing the answer.
Absolutely not letting them do it for me. Love the idea of the curry sauce and the fish. Fish works really well with curry spices.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's like a Goan fish curry dish.
Well,
yeah.
It
prawn buna.
Yeah, exactly.
I'm a person who tells themselves they like fish, but when I see it on a menu, I go, if I order the fucking fish, I'm going to regret it and look at some kale or somebody else's fish. Real food. Because fish just tastes a bit nasty, right? It does. It does a bit. You talk yourself into, oh, it's healthy and it's... But it's not that nice.
And then the real food will turn up.
You're not putting curry sauce on, like, you know, really nice
sea bass
steak. You're putting it on battered fish.
I went to a posh place recently. Nice. I had a tandoori monkfish thing. Oh, it was gorgeous. Wasn't strong enough, the tandoori element. You can anaesthetise most fish with heavy curry sauces, I think. So on even fish and chips in a... Mainly what you're enjoying is the batter and the chips, not the coddy, fishy taste.
Mm-hmm. And the curry sauce in this instance.
And the curry sauce in this instance.
So anyway, are you pouring it over or are you having it on the side?
He's rubbing it on the side. He's on the side. The man orders nachos with everything on the side.
He does.
Have you told them about when you go into a Greggs? How you order in a Greggs?
What have I done wrong in a Greggs?
Have you told them?
What have I done wrong in a Greggs?
You've seen
beans and sausages, please.
What is it?
I've done nothing wrong in a Greggs.
You asked them for the extra crispy bacon, which I just find really funny.
On the breakfast bar, he gets extra bacon.
This is akin to your down Austin lie about him ordering.
I was slagging off someone once in front of you who asks for the crispy bacon, and I was like, it's not a fucking deli or like a creator encounter. And you went bright red and you were like, that's what I do when I go into
Greggs. Yeah, but I wouldn't do it in the Greggs. I can, I order crispy bacon.
Okay.
The person, I will order an extra, you know. Can you just you don't just give me a poached egg, you make sure it's runny enough. You don't just give me bacon. It's got to be crispy. You don't give me toast, you better fucking toast it.
Oh yeah, so you asked them to pre-butter your toast in a hotel as well.
So, alright. Let there be some secrets. Beth, what are you doing with your curry sauce on fish and chips?
Well, I'm not an animal, so I don't want them to pour it on for me.
Thank you.
Because then as well, like, it'll get wrapped up and then you've got to transport
too
it.
Too gooey.
You'll be soaked through, you'll get it on your trousers, you'll get it, you know, you're transporting it in the car. Like, it's just recipe for disaster. So no, I don't want them to pour it on. I will then drizzle it on, but I don't like to submerge it.
So you'll drizzle as you go?
Yeah, I drizzle as I go. Like, I'll put a little bit on and then I'll, like, you know, I don't want it to be completely submerged in curry.
Correct.
I'll pour it on and leave a little bit for dipping.
Yeah.
Oh, I think that's the...
I think you can de-crispify. That's even like with like a curry, a gravy on the chip. The chip. What you don't want is to take your chips home and just find them soggy mulch. Yeah. You want them to have a semblance of crispiness. That's why I think if you can get the wet stuff to one side, even the mushy peas can cause unnecessary.
The only asterisk to that is if you go to, do you know Steve's Chippy by ours, and you order pie dinner.
Yes.
It has to all be on unless you specify set. Because the point, I think, like, you know, the reason it's so key. The
reason it's called dinner.
Yeah, is because they're preparing the full meal for you. You're not doing anything. But I've gone in and said, can I have the gravy on the side? And there's a degree of, it's not how the pie dinner goes, you know, like as if you're being a little bit tricky.
Yeah, there's an element of judgment.
Yeah.
You have to fox catering establishments with this one. Because I'll say, portion chips. Oh, can I have a pie, by the way, as well? Oh, sure. Tell you what, give me a pot of gravy. Before you know it, you foxed them into giving you a deconstructed pie dinner. And there's nothing they can do about
it.
Does mushy peas go with the pie dinner or not?
Yeah.
Instant chippy,
you can have that on the side as well.
What pie would you get?
You didn't mention them as part of the things you said then, so I was just checking. I wasn't sure.
Oh,
it was a query.
I go to breakfast places where my brunch is two poached eggs, some sourdough, maybe some beans on the side, and occasionally you get some sort of version of this, which is a ready-made meal, but I never let them do that.
I've witnessed all of this.
It always is. It's
so Larry David, it's unbelievable.
I go, can I have two poached eggs? They go, what, just two poached eggs? And I leave a bit of space. And I go, oh, I'll have some sourdough toast separately.
Yeah.
Oh, and what else? Maybe a ramekin of beans. And I use the word ramekin as well, which always goes, oh, so industry.
One of my mates once wanted toast, and there was no toast on the menu. So instead of just asking for toast, he legitimately looked at the waitress and said, can I have scrambled egg on toast without the eggs, please?
Man after my own heart.
It's Christian.
My biggest bugbear is... my biggest bugbear is if me and Michaela are in a hotel situation ordering breakfast, is I never get enough toast to satisfy me. And she's very relaxed about how much toast she gets because she's ordered something else. I go, can you just order your toast as a separate toast and I'll order my toast?
Yeah.
And when they come to the order, she goes, just get us mixed toast for both of us. And I'm going, don't say that.
Yeah.
Stop saying that. It's lactose become a thing between us now. She will cite it in proceedings if ever gets to that stage.
Peter Simpson, Amelia, wants to know that if you went on Mastermind, what will be your specialist subject, not football orientated?
It wouldn't be football orientated anyway, would it? Fucking, all right.
So I laugh too hard.
I think about this all the time and I don't know, because you know what? I used to know things and now I don't know fucking anything. I'd say I've become a generalist and not an expert in anything. I've watched a lot of Bluey recently.
You can't have Blueys.
You can have Bluey. People have had Peppa Pig.
So you go on Mastermind and say...
It'd have to be Celebrity Mastermind, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
To have Bluey. I don't know what I know anything about anymore. That's so depressing.
Los Campaninos?
That's what my mum calls them.
Is that right?
You go and see a Los Campaninos again. Yeah, I suppose so. But like, I like the music. I don't know if I know that much about them.
I reckon it wouldn't take you long.
Just to revise.
Yeah. You could do it in a couple of days. I reckon you'd be shit hot.
Yeah, go on. Yeah, like dates and that. Like, I've got a vague idea, but I need... Okay, I'll do that. Thank you.
Yeah, I think we can help you out there. What are you doing at Mastermind?
Probably something musical theatre related.
Ooh.
Okay.
Over the years, I've seen Wicked 8 times.
Fuck yeah.
So I feel like maybe Wicked would be a smart bet.
Like what's the best staging of Wicked that you've seen?
Oh, that's a tough one. Saw it on Broadway. That was pretty good. Yeah, maybe that. Or maybe I'd try and like broaden it out to like other musicals as well. But I feel like if we're getting really specific, then
you're tightening.
Then I'd tighten it in on Wicked.
They do make you go specific, don't they?
Like, they want you to go specific, yeah.
Such as, like, people don't just do, like, kids' cartoons, it's Bluey.
It has to be Bluey. Yeah. Or sometimes it'll be, like a programme between the series of such and such and such and such, which, you know.
Dead specific, yeah.
What are you doing?
I'm going to say, well, music is an easy one. If it's not football-y things, I would do, like, Blondie. The life and times of and members thereof. And I know their discography like the back of my hand. All singles and the months they were released. I still know that.
I'd back you to get at least 14.
I think I'd do well there. The other one I thought my more recent sort of expertise gained is pubs of Edinburgh. I think I'd do pretty.
I think there'd be some. There'd be some obscure questions on Pubs of Edinburgh that you'd.
I think you'd get up a bit. Yeah.
I think you get shafted on Pubs of Edinburgh. I think you'd think you're being good, Nick, and then you'd struggle.
It's not just
which ones are good.
Yeah, it's what their names are and where they are.
Yeah, exactly. You're not fucking right about us.
Shut up. Oh, just because you went to uni there about a million years ago.
Mm. I'm just saying you can't go on Mastermind and the question is rank the pubs of Edinburgh.
And then at the end of it,
Magnus Magnusson or whoever hosts it now, is it Clive Meary? Goes, well done, Rob. 18 out of 20 correct.
I can tell you what they look like.
It's actually still say 17. Your number one is actually not on the list at all, Rob.
Yeah. Okay, Phil. What's your Mastermind specialist subject?
Oh, fucking everything with him.
Oh, fuck.
It's not really. He knows everything.
He can't have fuzzy, so he's fucked.
So I'll probably go for some. So, in terms of, I would look at things that I think I've got a really good memory of. Generally speaking, that I could probably expand on. It sounds really specific, but I would probably do the Cheltenham Festival of about 2011 or something like that.
Wow.
Because I remember...
I think that's even too specific for Mastermind.
No, yeah. I don't think it is, because there's so many different things they can ask you. But I've got to... I just remember so much about it that if I had the time to go back and...
Do a few
read up on stuff and remember stuff and figure stuff out, I would remember a fucking shitload about it, and I would probably do... reasonably well on it.
Okay, I like it. I mean, I like the idea of you sitting down and it being...
But you've got it, that's the whole point
of it. Cheltenham Festival 2011. Phil Blundell, 14. You can deal on that. You can make that back in the general knowledge quite comfortably and go from there. I'd back you to sort that out as well. Robbie Richmond asks Beth, what is your favourite musical? It's literally the next one.
Wow. Oh, wow, okay.
So is it Wicked or is something else your favourite musical?
No, to be fair, like Wicked was like... A lot of those 8 performances were within the space of about 3 years when I was like maybe like 11 to like 14. Mm. So my current favourite musical is a great question.
Do you like old musicals?
Got to pick one.
Like Rodgers and Hammerstein.
They're not what I would listen to. Like I'm actually like I'll be in the gym and I'll have like a show tunes playlist on. Not all the time, but sometimes.
I like knowing this about you.
Yeah, but I wouldn't listen to like Rodgers and Hammerstein. Like I've got some standards. Do you know what I mean? Like it's got a bit of a beat to it. They're great. But like you wouldn't have them like while you were like on the rowing machine.
Fair.
I'm gonna say my favorite musical. To be fair, I went to see Cabaret on the West End not long ago, and that production was like, it's unreal. And I've seen Cabaret about 4 times over the years, so I'm gonna say Cabaret, but it probably isn't the right answer. But it's my at this moment in time, that's what I'm gonna say.
What's your favorite Disney soundtrack for the tunes?
Soundtrack, I don't know. I think the best ever Disney song is Hercules, I Won't Say I'm In Love.
I don't know that.
That's a deep cut.
Yeah.
What are you going for? Favourite musical?
What, if Disney?
No, anyone. Any way you want.
Seven Brides for Seven Brothers.
That's old school.
Because I was raised on those by my ma. And yeah. Oh, I do like My Fair Lady. I think that's a really...
Yeah.
I don't know. Who's that by? Don't know, it's good. I like My Fair Lady quite a lot. And Disney, actually, you know what? Disney probably from that era too. Mary Poppins. Yeah. There's some good tunes in that.
Mary Poppins is excellent.
Yeah, it's very good.
Phil?
Sound of Music's good, isn't it?
Oh, sorry, Jesus Christ Superstar is my favourite, is the right answer. I fucking love...
How many goals has he scored so far?
Oh, I just love everything. I think the film version is Emmylou Harris does... what's it bloody called? I'm not going to sing it. That would be awful. But I just love it's the quintessential ones that people take the piss out of as Jesus Christ Superstar, because there's a bit like halfway through of the song about Herod where they go, he is dangerous. And I love that kind of bullshit musical theatre aspect you can't do in a normal song, unless you're Kate Bush. But yeah, and the Simpsons take the piss out of that, like Stop the Planet of the Apes, I Want to Get Off, which, I fucking love that shit.
Go on, Phil, what did you say?
Sound of Music's good.
Yeah,
Sound
it's music. Great film.
It is good.
I also quite like Hamilton as well.
Yeah, see Hamilton. Hamilton, you can listen to in the gym.
Yeah, on a run.
Don't know it. know of it.
It's good. You think you might. You'd either really. I think you'd either really like it or really hate it.
Which was
just imagine you and Steve doing it as like a pint Hamilton, like it being like a reason for a night out, and like you'd be karaoke. Like, Steve, we gotta go Hamilton. It's going to Leeds. Like
it. We ended up looking at each other halfway through, going, "Was this your idea?" Yeah.
You know when it was on in Liverpool.
Yeah.
I went and I sat down, and completely by chance, I ended up sat next to Lizzie.
Oh really?
It was on for about 30 nights.
Yeah, and you just happened
and
to.
And the one day, in the seat next to us,
Neil doesn't like Hamilton. He doesn't want to talk
about
it.
He's a purist.
Doesn't want to talk about it.
I'm not slagging it off.
He's very against it.
I think the songs are shit. Come on.
No, I love Hamilton is the one that you can like listen to and enjoy, but Sound of Music is my all-time favourite. I used to watch it every single day as a child. And next year, I'm going to take my mum to do the Sound of Music experience.
Oh, yeah.
And you can actually stay in the Von Trapp family household.
Wow.
But like not as part of the trip. It's been turned into like a luxury hotel.
I thought you were
going to
say not as part of the family then.
You don't have to be one of the, but her name is Marta. But you
don't have to make clothes out of curtains.
You don't. It's not a part of it. It's not, you don't have to marry the captain. But yeah, you can stay there. So I'm going to take her and do that next year.
Is that the best music there is with Nazis in it?
Oh, cabaret's good though as well, isn't it?
Yeah, that's true.
So I like cabaret.
I like cabaret
a lot.
My mate Faye took me to see cabaret when Self Esteem was in it, and she'd never seen it before or like heard of it. And you know those things that you think are like so much a part of like common culture that like everyone knows that it's a nun in the Sound of Music, or everyone knows that, you know, like key things. She'd never seen it and wasn't aware of it. And when your man comes on as a Nazi, she audibly went and was the only person in the whole theatre, and everyone turned around to look to be like, did you not know this was about the Nazis? Like, had no idea. It was just really funny.
But that staging of it is insane.
It was good,
isn't
it?
Like, I only went a couple of months ago, and like, you go in and like, you're meant to go in like before the performance, and you've got like people like dancing on the bars, and like, it's all obviously very like 1920s, 1930s themed. Oh, it's great.
It was good, that.
So good.
All right, last one that we'll do. It loops back into where we started.
My eyes are so itchy. Sorry, I was saying it
to myself. So there's been a question about how do you cope with the heat wave, but I decided to sort of park that. But you've literally just put your...
not well is the answer.
Hay fever, eye drops in.
Pollen is not... fucking around this week, is
it's
it?
Not fucking around, is it?
Today feels like it's the worst.
Yeah. I think pollen-wise.
Today is the worst day of just everything generally. I think it's the worst day of weather because it's the humid day. It's just horrible.
Muggy indeed. All right, Ben Stoneman just asks, scale of 1 to 10, how excited are you for this World Cup? I'm intrigued by your answers.
God.
How excited are you, Roberto, for the World Cup?
1 to 10. At the moment, I couldn't give a crap. I'm just absolutely one, right? By the time it comes round... And I'm thinking, what am I doing on Tuesday night? I'm messaging Steve and saying, can we go and watch Iran versus New Zealand or whatever, whoever's in it?
At 3 a.m. I didn't know.
Well, maybe not that one.
There's 5, 6, 9.
Yeah, no, there's some parties.
If there's a 5 p.m. down the pub.
Yeah, there's plenty of that.
Watching some mediocre football match, I wouldn't be able to tell you the score of at the end of it. I'll be excited at a scale of 9 then.
To be honest, the 5.
Yeah, none.
The 5s and 6s are actually... all right. It's the later you go on, the less interesting the games are.
Good.
In general, because they've like, there's a lot of situations like they've sort of got Japan and South Korea playing in their morning and really late in our day and stuff like that. So they've managed it, like Austria Jordan is a 5 a.m. kickoff as opposed to being at 5 p.m. because it's obviously better. Jordan.
Whoa, one for the purists.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
So you're a 1 currently, but you're optimistic. You can get yourself
a
6.
Could get to a 9.
You can get to a 9.
If it gives me a Tuesday night out, Tuesday early evening out with some nachos and a Graves.
Yep, I think you're going to be a big fan of
Liverpool.
You're going to be a big fan of the 5 and 6 p.m. games, aren't you? Ultimately, let's be clear. Everyone else is going to be too rich for your blood in the early going.
Yeah. He's not even doing the 11s. Never mind.
No, he's got no chance.
Never mind the 3s or the 5s.
What are you? 1 to 10? Where are you at the minute?
I'm not fully all in yet, but I'm probably on an 8 in terms of.
Oh wow! I'm really impressed, Phil.
Well, I love the World Cup anyway, but it's also my whole work thing is building towards that at the minute.
Yeah.
I just fucking love the World Cup. Ultimately, it's wall to wall football for 5-6 weeks. It's great. I'm
very much looking forward to it.
Okay. Amelia, 1 to 10, where are you?
My answer is the inverse of Rob's right now. It's a 9 because I love the World Cup. I think in 5 weeks in, when you're sat outside our house for the third time in the week, beeping the horn.
Beep, beep.
Steve and his marriage hanging on by a thread because he's seen you more than me in a week. I'd say by that point it'll be a what. I'll be going, when the fuck is this over?
It's hell.
And when does it end? Does that mean there'll be a point where both of you are on fire?
There's some talk
the 20th of July
or never, depending on your point of view.
19th of July.
More weight. Now then I'll like it more because I've been in Portugal for a good chunk of that, and that'll.
The knockout stages are a lot better time wise in terms of
How much are you? You're trying, aren't you?
I'm going to be diplomatic and say 5.
Okay. I like strong diplomacy.
Yeah.
Just in case there's anyone from work seeing if they should actually send you.
Yeah, yeah. No, I'm incredibly grateful for the opportunity.
Thank you.
To be fair, I work for ESPN and they are owned by Disney. So one of the perks of the gig is that you do get a couple of times a year you get free Disneyland passes.
Stop.
Whoa.
There's many.
Wow. Yeah. So while I'm in LA, I am going
Magic Kingdom
to OG Disney.
To OG
That's
Anaheim.
The best when Anaheim is the best
Anaheim Disney.
Disney.
Yeah. So sorry. I would say about four of my excitement numbers are based on that. In terms of the actual football, not very.
I'd never even considered that was a perk of working for ESPN.
That's
and Disney and stuff like that. I don't know why.
Have you been Euro Disney?
I have not actually. This will be the first time I've used like that perk. I have been to Euro Disney, but
Euro Disney.
Yeah, it's great.
I'd be getting over to Japan.
I mean,
I've been to most of the others, but yeah. I'd like
you also
to
don't get your flight and accommodation paid for if you just go into Disneyland. So
come on.
So
I've been to see Disney in Tokyo.
Wow.
What, stand outside?
No, see Disney.
What? That was never mind.
What do they have at Sea Disney?
Loads and loads of things on water.
At least you got it, Amelia. That'll do for me.
Like rides.
Yeah, yeah.
Or like
rides, experiences. No, there's that as well, but there's
is it like SeaWorld, basically.
It's not a water park. This is important. It's not a water park.
Shamu's got like Mickey Mouse ears on.
Yeah. It is. No, I'd do it. I'd strongly recommend
Sea Disney. Free Willy and Donald Duck next to each other.
Yep. Yeah. All the stuff. All the bits and pieces.
All the stuff. Free Willy would snack him.
He would.
There we go. I think that'll do. Thank you very much indeed. Whatever you're doing over the course of this weekend, this is out on Thursday because we don't put anything out on Friday the 29th. Thank you very much to Amelia. Thank you very much to Beth. Thank you very much to Rob, to Phil. Check out the Pub Crawlers with Roberto. It's out today.
Yeah.
Well done, Rob. That was the enthusiasm I was looking for.
Yeah. Your own thing.
Yeah. We'll see you all later on.